know, I'm not getting nearly the blowback I thought I was going to get on that story about the survey. Maybe people understand. I'm just the messenger. It was a survey done asking children between 6 and 16 which parent drives better. 43% said that was dad. I'm just saying. Now, the kids also, though, said dad was more likely to drive faster. Dad was more likely to have road rage. And the kids actually enjoyed driving with mom because top reasons they listed for liking to ride with mom. They said dad was a better driver, but mom had better music, more car games, and fewer rules like no yelling and no food.
Well, you know,
there is enough food. Let me just side note. There's enough food. I feel safe that if my family got stranded somewhere on the side of the road in my wife's vehicle, that there's enough food to feed them for a week or two under the seats and in the back and stuff smashed down on the thing. They would survive.
The more car games in mom's car might point to why she's a less safe car.
Right.
Maybe. Just a problem.
How many times a drive do I say, no, I can't look because my job is to drive the car? All right. It is a Thursday. We check in with our buddy Robert Kennedy Jr. And, of course, we'll talk a bit about the forum that went on Tuesday on Tuesday's show that Robert was a part of. But before that, Robert, the mask ordinance for the city of Mobile, even though some parliamentary procedure moved that vote from Tuesday to Wednesday, it was 6-1 yesterday voting for an ordinance to require masks in the city of Mobile.
Yes, finally. We finally got to that point that we made it mandatory. Bravo.
See, and bravo. Bravo, why? Because I want to... Because if this is about messaging... Okay, let's see if you and I can come to any kind of agreement on things to work off of there. Do you think that this is going to be enforceable?
Ooh, that's going to be hard. Yeah, that's going to be hard because right now, because it has become so political, and folks are tying it to their definition of individual liberty, I think that you have an enormous amount of, quote, civil disobedience, end quote. And if the police department was trying to enforce this with any amount of intensity, it's going to be a challenge, right? Because especially in light of today, the issues of the day with the concept of over-policing on some fairly simple things, this could turn real bad quickly.
Yeah,
so the short answer is it is going to be a challenge to enforce.
So, and so we're in agreement there, and I think it's a tough situation too. You put law enforcement in, you know, that you got to, I mean, they'll say, well, leave it up to the discretion. I think the mayor said, you know, we're not trying to write tickets for this, but my gosh, this is where I'm a stick in the mud about rule of law. Either make a law and enforce it or don't make a law. But I think the idea of getting more people to wear masks, my belief is you could have arrived at that with a big, serious press conference, you know, and been here on the radio station, on every TV station, and people said, this is what's going on. This is why, you know, if we don't do this, it could keep businesses shut down. This is why we got to do this and get through this so we can keep our economy going. And get that, I think you might have had the same ability to message that way.
And Sean, I almost agree with you, but there's one area where I think that I'll be a little bit more nuanced, if you will. So the entire time we've talked about COVID, at least when you and I bantered on air, I've been very reluctant to get into this thing of credit or blame. Right, I just kind of tried to stay away from that.
Right.
But imagine if we would have done exactly what you talked about at the very beginning when we weren't sure, we didn't have 12 weeks worth of data like we do now, then I have a tendency to agree with you that everybody probably would have fallen in line and there wouldn't have been a lot for people to argue against. But given where we are right now, I think that you needed to have the mandatory focus in alignment with all of the major organizations now recommending that you wear some sort of face covering at a minimum in order to move the system in the right direction, even if it's not completely enforceable. And I'm thinking about, you know, forgive me, the group up in Tuscaloosa who's having a COVID party.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to those knuckleheads in a second, those kids.
Yeah, but it's that whole notion you needed to make the system move. And so by virtue of making it mandatory, sure, there are people who are going to be opposed to it, but more people than not are at least going to get the message that there is alignment up and down both the political world as well as the medical world. And that's the reason why I think it was a good thing.
Yeah, that alignment portion is something I ask questions about all week long. I said the reason this stands out to me is you have, let's go outside our area for a second, and you have Republican governor in Texas, Republican governor in Florida, both pulling back here for worries about transmission of COVID. And then you had Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, who a month and a half ago still said, he said, I believe people should be wearing masks and socially distancing. He said, I just don't agree with it being an ordinance. And then he comes around. Then I see, you know, cities throughout the state of Alabama moving forward with it. Sounds like, and I heard a little bit of this in the city council meeting yesterday, I guess the governor's office basically said, well, we can do it or y'all can do it, so let's get this done. That was late last week, and it seems like that was a kick in the butt.
Well, even from the perspective of, if we're using conservative philosophy, right, we would say you want decisions to be made as close to the people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want this to be a bottom-up, right? You want municipalities followed by states, followed by anything that is at the national level. So although I'm not happy about the timing, I think this should have happened 10 weeks ago. The fact that we're at this point now is significant. I know one of the things that you referenced on air a couple of times was there was a point in time where the WHO had communicated something that I thought was confusing because they were trying to make this distinction between kind of medical-grade mask, which you would have as your healthcare providers wearing, and what the normal layperson should wear, particularly when it comes to the fact that there were people who were wearing masks that weren't cleaning them, so it's increasing their chance of getting COVID. But even more recently, I think the WHO has been much more consistent in saying, hey, this 60-plus population needs to do one thing, and then the general population needs to do something else. But it's in the direction of wearing a face covering.
All right.
So as of this point in time, there's really nobody saying that they think it's a bad thing medically to wear a face mask. And so that's the reason why I think we're seeing this actually happen, whether you're talking about Democratic-leaning areas or Republican-leaning areas as well.
Yeah, I was going to drill into that on the mask and the, you know, properly wearing the mask, the kind of mask and all that. But I want to go to the bigger subject. You talk about that. Let's talk about the straight-up politics of this. And it's it is interesting to me. I don't know what's in people's hearts, how many folks out there are wearing or not wearing masks because of just beliefs that of their own, right? There's no virtue signaling either way. They just either think that's not for them, they forgot it, or people that think they really need to wear it. But there is some percentage, I don't know what it is, on both sides that either wears the mask or doesn't wear the mask in a statement, in so many words. And what percentage I don't know.
But. Right, and that was my frustration fairly early on when everybody was playing the credit or blame game. Right. And so if you look at, I spent the early part of my naval career in Japan and Singapore. Right. And so it was just a common occurrence for folks throughout Southeast Asia to wear a mask. And for the most part, it was, you know, for the common cold or for flu and stuff like that, not to be spreading germs. But culturally, it's just not something historically we have done within the continental United States. And so I think it's interesting to see, you know, what could have been before it became an indication of whether you were left-leaning or right-leaning.
So there is some of that out. And the ones that get me would be people that have the mask around their neck in the store but have it hanging off of one ear or something like that. It's almost like it's a talisman. Like, I got it.
The one that's covering the mouth but not the nose? Right,
right. Yeah, either put on improperly or it's just kind of there like as an accessory item. Oh, yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. I'm showing you I got it, but I'm not wearing it. I mean, at that point, I'm like, why even bring it into the store? Why even, you know, if you could have.
Yeah, but even from a standpoint of degree, even if they, you don't know what they are in their heart and their intentions are less than altruistic, at least they have it with them. You know what I mean? And so if all of a sudden they start to experience a coughing fit, then they have the ability to put it on. Whereas if they didn't have it with them, you know, obviously, I think they'd be sneezing into their elbow, but, you know.
Okay, and the other part of this, too, is, and I am, I get inundated daily with this story, this doctor said this research said that, this thing. And there's a lot of people out there looking and saying, hey, there are people out there saying these masks are just that. They are a talisman. They're useless in helping keep from spreading COVID-19. And now there are people out there saying, in fact, that it does help. But, you know, I think it's not been in our lifetime that the back and forth, maybe it has, maybe during the AIDS epidemic or something, but that there's not been the commonality of information that people don't, aren't all getting the same story, right? There's dissenting opinions, which are good, but they are leaving people confused.
But that's the reason why I describe this in terms of the direction and this kind of point of intersection, right? And so probably the most significant one I noticed was when Vice President Pence started talking about wearing a mask, because he had not been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I believe, within the last 48 hours or so, the Senate Majority Leader talked about wearing a mask as well.
Mm-hmm.
And as I referenced before, there was a point in time where the CDC and the WHO were communicating things that were easily interpreted as directly contradictory. Yeah, I mean, you had to unpeel the onion to see the point at which they aligned. And so I think the consensus is going in the direction that wearing a mask basically decreases the distance that me sneezing or me coughing actually puts, you know, aerosols into the atmosphere, right? That's fairly clear. And as they're starting to do the actual lab test, you know, the ones with the petri dishes where you sneeze in when you're wearing a mask and not wearing a mask,
mm-hmm.
It's easy to see visually that it is having an impact. So I think the consensus is moving in that direction. What I have not heard yet is, with the exception of the WHO's claim, that if you wear a mask and the mask gets dirty and you put the mask on backwards, you might get COVID, right? I mean, that makes sense. But with the exception of that, I don't see any medical information that is suggesting that it's going to make your health worse. And that's the reason why I mentioned before I was happy to see the Mobile City Council do what it did.
And Robert, you mentioned the Vice President, the Senate Majority Leader. Yesterday, the President said he's all for masks also, that he thinks masks are good and that he looks good in a mask, even though he doesn't wear them all the time. I'm wondering, and I sense here maybe a marketing opportunity, if Trump is for masks, maybe Make America Great Again masks are on the way. And do you think more people would wear masks if there were Make America Great Again masks out there? And would the left find those problematic at all? Like the hats.
I think that more people who have not been wearing masks because the president didn't wear a mask would wear them. And I think that would be a good thing, because that's going to keep more people alive. You know the answer to the second question, right? So it's no different than some people trying to react viscerally to somebody wearing "I can't breathe" on a mask.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so if somebody puts a statement on a mask and that statement is deemed as political in nature, of course people are going to react to that.
Hey, by the way, those masks are already for sale.
Okay.
I want to talk about these knuckleheads, as you and I both have referred to them, in Tuscaloosa. Y'all, if you hadn't heard the story, so this is, it popped up yesterday. I guess it's been going on in Tuscaloosa, but it made, I heard about it yesterday, as the Tuscaloosa City Council was talking about students in T-Town hosting parties to intentionally affect each other with coronavirus. They were coronavirus parties. Now, here's the way the report works. You put in your money, and you'd have the guest of honor was the person with COVID-19. Then you'd, I don't know, you go Waller against them or something to see if you could get it, and then whoever got COVID-19 first won the money in the pot, I guess, 14 days later or something. I mean, is this just teenagers being invincible? I mean, you think about it, right? I mean, teenagers do all kind of stupid stuff because you don't think you're ever going to die.
Yeah, if we think back to, you know, we were in that 18 to 22-year-old age group, I often say I'm just happy that we did that in a world before social media existed, right?
Preach.
And there's just
Preach.
Something about being at that age that just kind of makes you a bit of a knucklehead.
Yep.
But this actually ties to the notion of what it was I was talking about before, about why I was happy about the city council voting the way that it did. We know that folks in that age group engage in risky behavior, whether you're talking about drugs, whether you're talking about alcohol, whether you're talking about distracted driving.
Yeah, driving fast.
Natural for the age group.
Driving fast, standing on the hood, all that stupid teenage stuff, right?
Exactly. But that is the reason why the mandatory nature of responding to a pandemic actually needs to be put in place. Now, the larger question, which is the one that has not been asked yet, is whether or not we should view bringing college-age kids back to college campuses where your ability to enforce the rules may not be as effective as them being at home with some additional, quote, adult supervision, end quote.
Yeah, and the other part of this is even younger than that. I know that they said school's going back in August and stuff in Alabama, but you almost have to have the kids go back. You have to figure it out, because if kids don't go back to school and there's, you know, younger children at home and people are trying to work, you talk about a big hit to our economy and people being able to work. It's important, I mean, number one, that the little mush brains get educated. That's number one. But number two, it is a big deal for our economy to have kids in school for at least 8 hours a day.
Sean, we need to make a distinction here, because I agree with what you say, but I don't think that responds to what the challenge was I issued initially, right? So if you're talking about normal K through 12, for the most part, the folks who are participating in that are living at home. There are some exceptions.
Oh, no, I'm following what you're saying. I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm saying on top of that, I agree with what you said about the college students, but I'm saying, hey, while we're talking about school, what the heck are we going to do here when we have, you know, the youngsters, the K through 12s going back? I mean, if I want them to get their education, and also I realize what it could mean for our state if kids aren't in school during the day.
Yes, but the larger question is, if you bring them back, and I think that we need to figure out how to operate in this environment without someone having to be in their house 100% of the time, because we know, particularly when you get to issues of the digital divide, that all children don't have access to the same infrastructure that would allow learning to occur, right? Having said that, what it looks like in the 2021 school year may look different than what it looked like before. And that's the stuff that I really think we need to be putting brain power into, to think about, you know, what does that modern classroom look like? And then start to work towards those solutions.
And that's a tough thing. And we don't have enough time for this in the discussion, but this is anecdotal. But I'll tell you this, just saying kids can learn remotely and learn through, you know, digital and all that, not all children learn like that. I mean, there have been big issues, I know, just small anecdotes here, about children that thrive in a school setting with a teacher there in person and their fellow classmates that absolutely fall apart when they were sent home, you know, and had to learn at a distance level. I mean, there's some kids that probably love it, but there's some kids that are not going to do very well with that. I'll tell you what, let's hold on, run to the news break here, because we are way over time, and we'll come back more with Robert Kennedy Jr. and discuss a little bit more about this, and also what went on with the forum, we're calling it. We keep wanting to call it a debate. It wasn't a debate. So the forum that went on here on the station earlier this week that Robert was part of. We'll do that when we return right here on Mobile Mornings. Right, 827 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. Sean Sullivan, Dalton Orwig, talking with our buddy Robert Kennedy Jr.
Snuck up on you there.
Yeah,
talking with Robert Kennedy Jr. and
there we go.
Now, talking masks. What else are we talking here?
Well, Robert, I wanted to talk about what went on earlier this week when you were part of the forum, not a debate, I guess, because Tommy Tuberville wasn't here, but a forum with Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that I wanted to say was I think it is good when we have basically these mixed marriages, right? So you had a Tea Party Republican and a conservative Democrat asking questions in the same place at the same time. And the questions that I asked, the first three were exactly the same questions that I had asked when I facilitated the Democratic congressional debate. And so I think it was good. I think it was a testament to what Joel's vision was in terms of making sure that hard questions get asked. So all in all, from my perspective, I thought it was a good thing.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, the question is, I mean, you could ask those questions, probably maybe better to ask those general election questions, because I don't know how different. Now, we have not heard a lot from Tommy Tuberville in a public setting. I know he goes and does different events, mm-hmm. but I don't think the difference in major policy, I mean, there's much difference between him. Now, implementation, I think, is what Jeff Sessions is talking about, his ability to implement. He did ask some questions about whether Tuberville was globalist or not. And, you know, there's things on record where Tommy Tuberville is talking that way. At the same time, he denies that he's globalist. So I don't know what to do with that. Beyond that, you know, here's a quote, here's a clip. He says this, the campaign denies it. If he's not going to come on for a debate, I don't know how we move that forward. So other than those things, I think, you know, politically, maybe it is better to ask some of these questions that they may be facing in a general. What do you think about that? What do you think about, we just have about 45 seconds left here, but what do you think about Doug Jones and his chances here in November?
Oh, Doug Jones is going to win.
You do?
Yeah,
you think
he's going
to
win.
A lot?
Mm-hmm.
You put those polls out where he was neck and neck with Tuberville.
But that's actually what's fueling my confidence right now, right? Because you would expect typically for him to be down probably between 10 and 12 points. It's just kind of what you would expect for an incumbent in a deep red state. And the fact that it's neck and neck right here at the primary, I think all of that, it bodes very well, particularly if you go into the space where, you know, people split their ticket. I think he has a really, really good shot.
Okay. We'll put some sort of wager on that going forward. Robert, as always, man, I appreciate your time. Have a great Independence Day weekend.
All right. You guys take care. We'll talk soon.
All right. Robert Kennedy Jr. And we're coming right back. I know Rob Holbert from Lanyap is going to join us. Lots to talk about. More mask talk with Rob Holbert. And a lot of texts coming in here, too. We'll get to those at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5, and this is Mobile Mornings. Let's talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, Dalton. How are y'all?
Hey, doing great as we head into this Independence Day weekend. And
that's right.
Beginning of the month, some great deals at McConnell Automotive.
Employee pricing on all the SUVs. You know, that's Yukon, Acadia, Terrain, and the Buick line. You got Encore, Enclave, Envision. I mean, we just got great deals going on. We got also great deals on the used car side. You can check those out at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141. And don't forget, you know, with this little rain, I want everybody to be careful out there. If you have unfortunate accident, don't forget Gary in the body shop back there. They can call them at 251-476-4141. They'll take care of all your unfortunate needs. And kind of a one-stop shop. We're going to be open all day long Friday to the last customer serve, and we're going to let everybody off on Saturday, and hope everybody has a safe and fun 4th.
All right, good stuff. And just a reminder to those that are out there wanting to sell their vehicles, you guys are buying cars too.
That's right. I mean, we just call Gene or I, give us a VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
Good stuff. Thanks, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right. Before we get into back into mask, and by the way, Rob, I forgot, Rob is on assignment today, so somehow you and I will put our heads together and somehow, you know, create some radio going forward without him.
We've done it before.
Once or twice. But I do want to get this story. You sent it to me yesterday. I mentioned it at the end of the midday show. But with all the discussion of fireworks shows that aren't going to happen, those that are, which, by the way, if you want to see what's who still is going to have their fireworks show, and this is a list that's updated by Leanna, she put this up on the Facebook page yesterday, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Hopefully, when you're there, you like the page, and lots of stuff to do over there. But you'll check the fireworks. You'll see the graphic there. You'll see the fireworks. You'll hear the fireworks. It'll give you the list of who's having their fireworks event. A lot easier to say who is versus than listing all the places that have canceled. So with that discussion going on, Dalton sent me a list here of the states that use the most fireworks.
Yeah.
You talk about right in my wheelhouse. It's a story from Zippia says it's about that time of year for the sky over the U.S. to start exploding again. And then said, from firecracker injuries, there were roughly 9,100 in 2018 alone, to homemade ice cream. This holiday is definitely a favorite. Last year alone, it cost the U.S. Look at that. This is going to show you some kind of, when you write and you put a prejudice in your writing. It says, last year alone, it cost the U.S. roughly $319 million to import fireworks. I would say Americans chose to spend $319 million on fireworks.
Yeah, right? $319 million.
Although, by the way, they do point out 90% of the fireworks are made worldwide. China produces 90% of the fireworks that are made worldwide. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that means we import 90%. I don't know that. But globally, fireworks production, 9 out of 10 produced in China.
And they're the originators, right? So
yes,
that makes
that gunpowder
sense.
Thing. But are they... You want to put the fire, and maybe they do. Somebody, Portobello, probably can tell me if this is a common deal, but it seems like that would be the wrong thing to pack tightly in a container in a Connex box and stock on, put on a ship and put across, you know, the Pacific and through the, you know, the Panama Canal and then bring it here. It just seems like you'd want, number one, for humidity and moisture issues, for maybe affecting it poorly, or something goes wrong and you have the big explosion at sea. I would think you'd want to produce that domestically.
Yeah, American-made fireworks.
Well, I would like that for American jobs, but also just for safety. They figured it out, but I don't know if I'd want to be like, okay, Captain Sullivan, you're going to, you know, sail out of Hong Kong and you're heading into San Diego. All right, what am I carrying on the manifest here? What, 8 billion bottle rockets?
That's dangerous.
So they go on this list, and what they did is they did it per capita, because obviously a state with lots more people, or they're going to use a lot more fireworks. So they did this per capita, which is a way to do this. So per capita is how they determined the states that spent the most on fireworks, or how many fireworks per citizen is on that list. Number one on the list, Missouri. Right. So this is Missouri's number one. This is it's an interesting cluster that goes on here, so follow me. So they said Missouri imports more than 42 million fireworks, and that means there's enough for each citizen to shoot off 7 fireworks. Now, they're not specific whether it's bottle rocket or Roman candle or firecracker. They just said fireworks. So 7 per citizen in Missouri.
That's impressive.
Nebraska, 5.9. Imports just enough so each person in the state can almost shoot off 6 fireworks a year. So Kansas at number 3. So that cluster, right? I mean, Missouri, you go west of Missouri, there's Kansas. You go north from Kansas, there's Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Kansas number 3 with 4.2 fireworks per citizen. They said the state imports over 12 million fireworks each year. So there's that cluster. It is Missouri, it's Kansas, it's Nebraska. And then number 4, hey, y'all, look. Alabama. Alabama imports almost 20 million fireworks a year. Ooh. For we the people of Alabama. That's enough for each of us to shoot off 4 fireworks.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, even though that's impressive, we're almost just half of what they're doing in Missouri. But so we need to pick up our game this year, which I think we will. South Carolina in at number 5 on that list. Wyoming at number 6. Number 7 is Nevada. Number 8 is North Dakota. Number 9 is Indiana. And number 10 is Ohio. So there's the stats, the preseason stats for fireworks shooting.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree. We need to do our best to catch up to Missouri as a state. But Alabama, number 1 in all of the SEC for fireworks, which I think is a pretty good thing in itself. Now you look at the bottom of the list. I don't know if
we're not number 1 in the SEC for fireworks. Missouri.
Oh, that's a good point. I forgot that Missouri.
Because it makes no sense that Missouri's in the SEC, so that
right.
is sometimes lost on us.
You're
yes.
right. Well, at least as far as our portion of America, Alabama is number 1. But you look at the bottom of the list. I don't know if Delaware just failed to turn in their numbers. They're number 50, and they have zero imports for Delaware. I don't know if they have some kind of weird fireworks laws up there or not. But then you have Massachusetts, 49. Georgia. Georgia is coming in at 48 on the list. I would have never guessed that in a million years, that Georgia would be 48.
Yeah, what a real letdown for Georgia. I thought
really
they would have
is.
Done better.
Yeah, and let's see, a couple more. You got Louisiana comes in 33rd. Alaska, 32nd. You'd think they would just be shooting off fireworks like crazy.
They got enough other stuff to do. You make the Grizzlies angry.
Yeah, you're right. And I'm trying to find, Mississippi here, 21. And Florida, 19, which you do not want fireworks in the hands of Floridians. I'll tell you that. Florida man.
What Terry says, he thinks we get a boost from fireworks bootleggers out of Florida. I don't know. We stomp them, you know, on the fireworks thing. And how many of y'all are going to shoot off fireworks they normally don't, or more than normal, because maybe the fireworks display you normally go to is not happening.
More backyard shows than ever this year.
Yeah, it's going to be happening. I know for our crew, as long as it's not pouring rain, we'll be doing that. But should I bring that game back? I did. I don't know. I've gotten some trouble. Would y'all want to play a game here for names of? I know better than to do this. I should not say it. There's a thing I started doing, I think, 2 years ago. We did it last year, and it was, I give you the name, and it's either a firework or it's a, how do I put this, Dalton? An adult novelty. Okay, I give you a name.
Yes.
And then you have to decide, is it a firework?
Yeah. Or is it?
Adult novelty. We're not going to say an adult novelty.
Okay, yeah. I love that game.
So, okay, I tell you what, then let's go into the break. I'm going to give you two to think about here.
Okay,
right?
I'm ready.
One of these is a firework, and one of these is an adult novelty.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there are two names here. The Whoa Daddy.
Okay, the Whoa Daddy.
Whoa Daddy. And the, I can't do that one, Emperor's Sword. The Woe Daddy and the Emperor's Sword. One is a firework and one is an adult novelty.
This is a tough game.
All right. We'll get at least Dalton's answer when we get back.
Emperor's Sword, huh?
At 8:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. That's act a lot like a Friday. Friday Eve, little Friday edition of the show. Thank you, Gamecock Girl points out when we're ranking states for fireworks consumption. It doesn't get dark enough in Alaska. They'd have to shoot them at 1 a.m.
That's a good point.
You know, so.
I've stayed up till 1 a.m. before.
Yeah, but yeah, you'd stay up there. I've been up there and during the summertime, and you close the blinds and everything, but there's that little bit of light that shines between the window frame and the blind. You're like, I got to go see how light it is. What time? You look at your clock. It's like 10:45 p.m. Let's go look. It's still pretty light. You lay back down. You're like, it's still light. It's 11:30. Yeah, it gets dark a little bit, and then by the time you open your eyes back up, it's been light.
I've never been to Alaska. I've got to make it out there.
Yeah, you got to do that.
Maybe with fireworks.
Yes, maybe we'll have a station trip up there. All right. It is that time. Now, people have put their own guesses in here, but Dalton, as we went to the break, we put you on the spot here.
Yeah, right? You did.
And so we gave you the names here of two items. One of them is a firework. Mm-hmm. One of them is an adult novelty.
That's right.
All right. So that's one of them is. It's so hard to do this. It's actually so fun to do this. So let me do this. Can we crank up the music? All right, Dalton. So you were tasked during the break to figure this out without any help from the internet. The Woe Daddy and the Emperor's Sword.
Right. Now,
which one is a firework? Which one is an adult novelty?
I've been thinking about this. I do need to know country of origin for.
You can't phone a friend.
Okay,
I'm not getting into that either.
I'm going to say Emperor's Sword.
Uh huh.
Would be the marital aid in this situation. the adult novelty. So Whoa Daddy, you know, it just seems too obvious. That's got to be a firework. You know, you get big firework in the sky. Whoa Daddy, that was a big explosion.
Well,
it
depends on how you're doing your job. So you're saying, once again, so that's your final answer.
Emperor's Sword, final answer, is the adult novelty.
The Emperor's Sword is the adult novelty.
Yes.
The Whoa Daddy is the firework, and...
Ah, all right.
Very good. Now, I'm saving you going down the rest of this list here, because I... I may do that during the midday show. You know, I have to save this for the midday show.
Right.
To point out that some of the names I may throw out during the midday show, you don't have to, you can comment or not comment. the Italian Ice.
The Italian Ice.
Yes. the Golden Goose, the Hippie Chick, the Angry Cowboy.
The Angry Cowboy.
The Warning Dome, the Head Honcho, the Farm Girl. The Doc Johnson.
Are a lot of these are fireworks, right?
They're all. I'm mixing them together. I'm letting you, in that last list I have given you, there has been a mix of both fireworks and adult novelties.
This is probably the most.
The Jolly Roger.
The Jolly Roger.
Tracy's Dog.
Whoa.
The Cheerleader and the Pink Pony. these are all mixed together in there, so you'll have to, maybe we'll do that during the...
Do some research. You got 3 hours.
People are asking that. So people are asking, if there's going to be, there may be prizes. There may be prizes on this.
I don't think you can get a fishing team t-shirt for
I don't think so.
That one right.
But we will, by the way, be awarding the fishing team t-shirt to the winner of this week, our Thursday to Thursday week for the fishing photo contest. It's on our Facebook page. You'll, let's see, about 12, 15 or so on today's show, we'll be awarding this week's winner. And then we reset and get a whole new week to win, mm-hmm. starting Thursday to Thursday. By the way, speaking of Midday Mobile today, we'll be talking to, it looks like, yes, okay, George Talbot's going to join us from the city.
Good.
To talk about the ordinance that was passed yesterday by the council. So you got specific questions, and, you know, I'll talk about some of the things we've already talked about on the show, but if you have specific questions on the ordinance, you want to ask what the administration, their take is on this, that, or the other with the face mask, that will be at noon today on Midday Mobile. All right, to the phones, and Thomas is in. Theodore, hey, Thomas.
Hey, well, I think the count for the COVID for the United States, what, 130,000, something
right.
like that?
Yeah, right around 130,000.
Yeah, up to what, two and a half million or 3 million infected people?
That's right.
Is that, okay, yeah. Well, I was doing a little math on the 130,000 or so that's died in about 6 or 7 months. I don't know why everybody's pushing the narrative of we're all going to die from COVID when only 130,000 people died in 6 months. That's nothing. That's 0.000 whatever. It's nobody. And most of the people that's died has been elderly, half or so. So why is everybody pushing the narrative of all these great big numbers? Because the liberals want to destroy Donald Trump, period. That's it. They don't care about the country, destroy the economy, destroy everything for the hatred of Donald Trump and conservative people. What you say?
Do you think,
I was going to say, I think there are politics at play, but I think that there are a lot of people that would take personally, when you say that 130,000 people have died and that's nobody, a lot of people know people personally that died due to this.
Yeah, well, see, you took it out of context, not what I said.
How is that taken out of context?
For the number of people, the elderly, a lot of them have died from other cancers, just other different things, but they had COVID-19, but they didn't die from it. They died while they had it. That's what I'm saying. That's the liberal narrative. Oh, you're saying it doesn't matter. No, I said it's only 130 to destroy this great nation God gave us. The liberal, idiot, wicked people are doing it. And that's the narrative right there, to destroy the United States of America. Make it a liberal, socialist nation, and we'll destroy this great nation God Almighty has given us.
There you are. And seen. All right. Thomas, Blue Banger. What do you think the Blue Banger is? Do you think it's or Optimum Power? Blue Banger? Or no? No answer? Okay. Well, we'll pick it up again.
I like that game a lot more.
The Blue Banger. All right, we'll talk mask and a whole bunch more coming up at noon today for Midday Mobile. Mike Gallagher show on the way. Reminder too, you've got fireworks questions, when they're going to happen or happen at all. You can check our Facebook page for that listing.
Yeah, and Mobile, Fairhope, and then Dolphin Island, and then OWA yesterday announced they're postponing their shows. So you want to check that list out if you're planning on going out to check out some fireworks.
What about the Bone Breaker? all right, we got to go. Mike Gallagher on the way next. And, you also check us out. Maybe we'll play this game over on my Twitter feed, at FM Talk 1065.
The FCC does not follow you over there.
So. Well, he does. Ajit Pai, head of the FCC, does he does actually follow me on Twitter.
You might even get in trouble there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Oh, well. It's kind of my normal state of affairs.